Oh, hello. Sorry about that introduction. Just wanted to get all revved up for this episode because today is an introduction to a three-part series about using formative assessment in the classroom.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Wow, am I glad you're here today. I'm talking about formative assessment. That's right, formative assessment. I know you've heard that term a lot, but maybe not quite in this manner. So let's take a look at this, because what I've got coming up is a three-part series about using formative assessment in the classroom. The first part is the why, second is what, third are tools to use. So I'm going to start us off by talking about this. In seventh grade, I had several very memorable teachers. One was Larry Nixon. He was a science teacher who made you laugh and want to learn science. He was king of the bad puns. Oh my goodness, he could tell jokes about anything. You just got excited about being in seventh grade science. It was so cool. He was also master of shooting wads of paper into trash cans from anywhere in the classroom. And if he caught you throwing paper, he would challenge you to shoot from some spot in the classroom. If you made it, he let you go. But if you missed, you had to stay after school and clean his classroom. Now let me tell you something. He never missed. The kids always ended up with after-school appointments. He had a very clean classroom. It's just one of the many reasons why I remember Mr. Nixon's class. But I'd love going to that class. But also in seventh grade, another teacher I had was memorable for not necessarily his instructional techniques, but because of who was in his class. Now, I need to remind you, I was in seventh grade. The teacher, Mr. Presley, not related to Elvis, thank you. Thank you very much, was interesting. He taught social studies, but I remember his class the most because of who sat right behind me. Now, I know her real name, but to protect the innocent, let's just call her a different name. Let's call her Lisa. I had a crush on Lisa, and she would talk with me from time to time. Did I say I like going to this class? There were many a day that if Mr. Presley had called on me, I would have replied, could you repeat the question? But he didn't, and I was mesmerized by Lisa. No matter what was going on, you know, I pretty much was caught in Lisa land. Matter of fact, so much so that I let her write her name on my new jacket. Now, it was the mid-70s, and fake leather jackets were all the rage. I'll never forget mine from JCPenney. You know, they were the in thing. And remember what I said, they were fake. They weren't real leather, but they were cool. And I let her write her name on the back of my jacket. And she didn't write it giant, but she was writing on there while we were supposed to be listening to Mr. Presley talk. Wow, did I get in trouble for that one? But not from Mr. Presley. It was at home. Now, let me tell you about me in that class. I did my work. I didn't cause problems, and I never volunteered to answer questions. I was quiet and always in school. but I'm not really sure that he knew I was there. You know, what's even more interesting was that he had other students who kept his attention because they were always causing issues and I wasn't. Hence, I kind of disappeared into the woodwork. Now, this is why you should make sure that you are using formative assessment in the classroom. How many star-crossed, lost-in-love kids do you have in your classroom? I tended not to follow what was going on in class and would use homework to get caught up. But if the teacher had ever checked, he would have discovered that I had no clue about his class content. You know, puppy love's funny that way. But puppy love is not the only thing that you have happening in your classroom. How about any of the following kids? Now, follow along with me because I'm going to introduce you to some characters that you probably have some names to go right along with these young people. So let's start with number one, Mr. or Miss Compliant. This is the kid who will do whatever you ask. Just tell him or her what to do. And they're going to ask you, what do you want me to do? Mr. or Miss Compliant. Number two, the recluse. Leave me alone. Let me be. If you push to get me involved, you will probably get something you don't want, or I'm just going to ignore you. So don't really try. So we got Mr. or Miss Compliant. We got the recluse. How about the answerer? The answerer has all the answers and is usually correct. And he or she wants to answer every question you've got. The comedian looks for opportunities to make everyone laugh, sometimes appropriate, oftentimes not. Oh, come on, that was funny. The disruptor seeks to take advantage of keeping the teacher off task and trying to find out what buttons can be pushed and how far he can go before he is really in trouble. Number six, the questioner. She or he usually has very high grades and wants to know more. This child always is ready with a question that will probably try your knowledge of the content. They have the greatest opportunity for driving you nuts because you know he or she will have a question no matter what you're talking about. And then finally, of course, going back to the love-struck person, the love-struck or Mr. or Miss Love-struck, like me. This child is off in Neverland, dreaming about holding hands and cuddly stuff. He, she is often doodling, writing letters, and really not on this planet. If you have ever read comic books, you will think of these names as a bunch of B-level superheroes or characters from the 1960s Batman TV show. I mean, come on. Think about it. On this episode, Mr. or Miss Compliant. We also have the recluse, the answerer, the comedian, the disruptor, the questioner, and love-struck. Don't they sound like really good bad guys for a superhero? Anyway, you know, I could probably create an even deeper list of characters, but this is enough for now. This will help me make my point. These characters should really help you understand why you need to plan to use formative assessment. So, what is formative assessment? Well, let's use a simplistic working definition. Formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know. The results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. So let's revisit that. Here's my simplistic working definition. Formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know. The results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. So, why do you need to use formative assessment? Kids are not machines or blocks of marble. Machines can have a bolt tightened or a chip inserted to improve performance. Marble can have a little chipped off here and a little there, and suddenly, voila, a masterpiece. They are living, thinking beings who can have bad and good days. They can get lost in daydreams and their own agendas. You know, kind of like me, they can let someone write on their jacket and just go, you know, I'm good with this. it is so important to plan for opportunities to see what they understand and what they are not getting, because the kids may not be on the same planet with you, and you got to figure out how to get them there, and you got to figure out how to keep checking to see if they're following you on the same planet. So this is why you have all these characters plus more in your classes, and they need you to break the code to understanding how to know what they know and to help them develop a better understanding of the content. So let's revisit my working definition. Formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know. The results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. So, riddle me this, Cape Crusader. What does purposeful, not graded, and adjusting instruction have in common with a soon-to-be-canceled television show called American Idol? Do you know the answer? Well, stay tuned. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we'll talk about it. See you next time.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.